Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 26. I've got myself and my great co-host, Spencer Forum. We've got a great subject. We're going to be talking about the best video editing solutions for producing video in 2023 for your membership website. We've got some traditional recommendations. We've got some cloud and browser solutions. We've got some AI solutions. I'm really pumped about this show. I think we're going to do some real great content for you. I'm now going to introduce my co-host, Spence. Spencer, how are you doing? The week, as normal, has just flown by, has it not?
Every Friday is like a minute. I was just having dinner with my girlfriend and we were discussing, wait, it's May. It's already May. I blinked and February turned into May. But yes, it's always good to be here. I think, what are we on shows? 27?
Is this 26. 26
shows. On top of the 47 years I've known you, it seems like forever. But I do like the topic today. I'm a little riled up too because I woke up this morning, our very good friend, is a colleague. This is a fun challenge. Jamie Marsland, Poodle Press. We're doing this. We're going head-to-head challenge in public, full-site editor versus classic combo. And I'm on the classic combo side. We were talking about this in yesterday's show. And I'm excited because Jamie doesn't know who he's messing with here. I'm saying classic cadence blocks. Let's do this. But now today we're going to talk about video editing, which ties in because the tools that we're using for video editing, you have an infinite wealth of new things. So you got to stay on top of this. Let's do this.
Yeah, sure. Going to be discussing the more traditional solutions, which is Final Cut Pro, ScreenFlow, Adobe Premiere, but we've got some web-based Veed, Promo, and we've got some AI solutions. But before we go into the main meat and potatoes of the show, I've got a couple of messages from our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Are you looking for ways to make your content more engaging? Sensei LMS by Automattic is the original WordPress solution for creating and selling online courses. Sensei's new interactive blocks can be added to any WordPress page or post. For example, interactive videos let you pause videos and display quizzes, lead generation forms, surveys, and more. For a 20% off discount for the tribe, just use the code WPTonic, all one word, when checking out and give Sensei a try today.
Hi there, folks. It's Jonathan Denwood here, and I want to tell you about one of our great sponsors, and that's Zolo.com. If you've got a WordPress website, a membership website, and you're looking to link it with a great financial management package, Zolo can provide this solution. So all your bookkeeping needs are done through Zolo. If you need new inbox email functionality and you don't want to pay the high charges that Google will charge you, Zolo offers a great email inbox platform. They've got over 50 apps and services that all integrate fantastic with WordPress at great value levels, and they almost always offer a fully functioning free product as well. So it's just amazing value. Also, if you're a WordPress developer or agency owner, Zolo are looking for great partnerships in the WordPress space. To get all this information, all you have to do, folks, is just go over to Zolo.com and they have the products that you're looking for. Thank you so much, Zolo, for supporting WP Tonic and the Machine Membership shows. It's much appreciated. We're coming back. Just want to point out, got some great special offers from the sponsors like LaunchFlows. Also got a curated list of the best WordPress plugins that can help you build a membership website on WordPress, which we both feel you should do for the flexibility and ownership it provides. To get this curated list so you don't have to spend hours trying to find the best solutions to help you build your membership website on WordPress, all you have to do is go over to wptonic/deals, and you find all the goodies there. And you can sign up for the WP Tonic newsletter, where we deal with membership, WordPress, everything you want to know, and that's free. And I write that myself, and it goes out normally either on Sunday or Monday. So let's go into the broad discussion before we go into our list. So I think video is really important. Most membership courses, you're going to be producing a lot of video. Unless you've got a sizable budget, you're probably going to have to be doing this yourself. The market's really changed and AI is really changing it more quickly, but you've got your more traditional solutions, which are very powerful, but time consuming, and there's a lot to learn. Obviously, you want to take screencasts of your screen, either on your Mac or PC. One of the biggest players there is ScreenFlow. You can also use Zoom as well. Spence.
I need to interrupt you for a second because I think you need to add one more. And when you mentioned ScreenFlow, which I don't see on the list, ScreenFlow and Camtasia for PC. Those are, I'm not sure why they're not in the conversation today, but like ScreenFlow is my number one go-to in Mac because I run two machines. I have a Mac here and I have a PC here. Camtasia I use on the PC. And what I appreciate about both of them, they have a similar set of optimal features. They give you just enough to do everything you need and nothing more. And they're lightweight. They run in the browser. And for what I do, which is typically screencasting plus me on a camera, not a lot of overhead. Some of these other editors are either a little on the light side or a little on the heavy side. And those two fall right into the middle. So I would definitely say not sure where we're talking about, but somebody should definitely be looking at Camtasia from TechSmith or ScreenFlow from, I forget the company. It's got a weird company name.
It will be in the show notes, folks. They're not exactly running the browser, though, Spence. They are apps. I'm not sure if they provide Android or tablet functionality, but they're more traditional app based.
Is that what we're doing today? Sorry, I didn't realize. Are we only doing like mobile capable?
It's a mixture, Spencer. I'm throwing it all into the meal of today. I'm just throwing stuff in. They are the two traditional solutions if you're going to be taking screencasts and then editing them. As Spencer said, they're both great programs. But these other programs, if you want to not use one of those and you want a web-based solution, we've got some really powerful solutions that you can also enable you to cut up video and use it for social media and to promote your courses as well. So there's not only the side about producing the course material, it's about producing video for your social media, for your own website, for your YouTube channel. There's multiple needs that you're going to need to require video for. So the two solutions that Spencer has mentioned might not be suitable for producing video for these other purposes. Does that make sense, Spencer?
It does. And I think it's fair to say that as we talk about these things, I'll get into some details about the when and the where of what would be appropriate. But one needs to start with an idea of like, what kind of content are they making? For example, typical web stuff with a desktop is going to be in 16:9 format, you know, widescreen. Whereas if you're in the TikTok, YouTube Shorts mode, Facebook Reels, you're in vertical phone mode. And for many people, content creation on the mobile device first is really the only way to go, because those devices actually have the apps that do the features like the overlay text and the weird backgrounds. So I would say that somebody should really be asking themselves first, what is the content they're making? And there's an influencer and a social media person, Rachel Peterson, who's very well known, who talks in some of her videos about multipurposing content. I've been experimenting lately, because I'm normally an old school 16:9 guy, of making YouTube Shorts. You can often make stuff in one of these editors that's on the desktop, but when you're framing it or making it, think about, well, would I be able to maybe just like zoom in like on the screen vertically and pay attention to stuff? Because that's going to save you a lot of trouble when you're using any of these editors of like, oh, I did the wrong tool or used the tool the wrong way.
I have some AI tools that can help with that we're going to be discussing, Spencer, later on in the show. So, ScreenFlow for the Mac. I can never pronounce the other one. That's for the PC. How do you pronounce it?
Which? How do I pronounce what?
Not ScreenFlow. That's for the Mac. The other one.
Camtasia.
I always struggle with that.
In Camtasia or ScreenFlow, what I've done is like I have an iPhone. I don't really want to like do the. Our friend Morton Rand Hendrickson would do this. Like he'll film himself with this camera and then do like the background replacement. I don't do those types of videos, but I understand why. But what I do like is when I'm making some screen content, I can just position it or zoom in with a almost like a frame. So Camtasia and ScreenFlow both have that capacity, as do probably many of these editors. You know,
yeah, they do
a lot. Video, and it's just focused on that.
Right. So that was a quick rambling introduction, listeners and viewers, but we had to cover it. But number one on the web-based solutions that you should look at is Canva. Now, Canva, we would highly recommend that you pay. It's got a really great free product. We would recommend that you look for the paid version, which you have to pay yearly, but it works out slightly less than $15 a month. And I think it's well worth it. Their video editing functionality in Canva has improved quite a lot. Until about 6 months ago, it was reasonable, but it wasn't fantastic. But they've really increased their chops when it comes to the video editing. And it's mixing static images with video clips. It's also got a fantastic background removing tool for whole videos that is quite amazing for a kind of introductory editing program. So I don't know if you've played with Canva when it comes to editing video, Spence, but I was quite impressed.
Actually, Canva is my number one tool across the board. We've had these discussions, but I'll use the video editing part. The types of content that I typically will make in ScreenFlow in the past used to use a tool that's in Macintosh. It's basically like a slideshow plugin, right? It's similar to, I'm trying to think of the name, I'm having a senior moment for a second, but let's just say for the sake of argument, because I'm not able, Keynote, thank you. I looked at my own screen. Keynote is similar to Microsoft PowerPoint. And many of my videos would have my voiceover and I would use Keynote to make graphics and it would animate each graphic. But then I would take that little animation and put it into Telestream and make a big animation. And Telestream Camtasia would allow me to like edit the cuts and make it all come together. Now, Canva has everything in it. Like, I don't even have to use another program, and it's web-based. So my latest versions of these videos, I go into Canva, and it's got 8 trillion beautiful things already set up in this example. I made my content, animated it, recorded it, and output it as a video, and it lets me do the voiceover. And for most people, it's free. I pay the premium, $12 a month, and I've got everything under the sun as far as like content, including video clips and audio. And so run, do not walk, to get Canva, no matter what else you're using here, because when you use that with WordPress, with some of the other things I'm talking about, that is my number one production studio for my YouTube thumbnails, through my animations, through my voiceovers, through my whatever. Now, does it have the high-end tools that you need for precise editing? No, but that's okay too, because oftentimes I'll produce in Canva and I'll put it into another editor to tweak, like, you know, the microscopic stuff. And it's just incredible, to the extent where I have a professional, well, several professional graphic designer friends who have taught WordPress kind of stuff. They're Adobe, right? They're using Photoshop, traditional tools. And it's like, they cannot deny that that gives them a new leverage, because, you know, the tool set is so fast and easy to use.
Yeah, it's got a reasonably easy interface. There is a learning curve, but compared to some of these professional tools, it's a lot less. On to the next one, which is a UK company that that has got a lot of traction. It's Veed, like Veed.io, browser-based video editing. They provide an app for Apple, for tablet, for Android. It moves on your video editing to quasi-professional level. So it kind of moves on your editing from what maybe Canva can do a little bit further, without having to delve into the world of Premiere Pro or Final Cut Pro. And it's quite amazing what you can do in it. I had a little play around with it. It's got a much better, more modern UX design. It starts around $18 per month, up to $100 a month. I was quite impressed with it. I don't know if this has come on your radar at all, Spencer. Veed.
Yeah, I've tried it. I like the founder I've seen.
Yeah.
They have really good promotion. It makes a lot of sense for somebody who is looking for an online alternative. I don't think it's in the same category as Canva. It's in the in-between space, because there's some powerful tools that are beyond the scope of maybe what you would do with Canva. It also has some things like stock library and so forth. So I feel like it's in that family, but it's definitely not going to give you the level of control that you would get from a desktop app or something like that, because, I'll give a comparable to it. In the last many years, there have been tools online like, I think it's called Pixlr, or I can't remember the word, but an online photo editor that was comparable to the features of what you'd get in Adobe Photoshop, right? You could do stuff before these modern tools of like press a button and remove a background image. You'd have to, you know, use the tool and do it. I put it at that level. They have built, I think, a nice business, reasonably priced. But let's talk about pricing. This thing is free for one-offs, under 10 minutes. Pro starts at 30, if you go monthly, let's be fair, it's $38 a month.
All right, you're going to go monthly.
Canva, in my understanding, because I'm on a pro plan or a paid plan, is $12 a month. I'm not saying you should exclude this because it's $38 a month. And this does have 120 minutes of subtitling, which is, by the way, something you cannot do in Canva. But I don't know whether or not somebody would be better off having this as an online editor and then having to also have Canva for other stuff, including many of the things I described, like getting the content, making the actual overlays. Or you'd be better off just having a desktop app and then using Canva, right? A desktop app like Camtasia or ScreenFlow. Let's just take a look, because we didn't mention it. Let's see what Camtasia costs. Camtasia is really reasonable. I don't think it's monthly. It's not cheap, but it's really powerful. It's $299 a year. So it's under $30 a month. That would be what, $25 a month, roughly $24 and change a month if you were to allocate it out that way. Let's do looking for the what ScreenFlow is from Camtasia. ScreenFlow is now currently I'm looking at their pricing. It's updated a bit. They are selling it for $169 a year, which is significantly less. So I'm going to go back to my premise of like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with Veed, but I would personally go, I would rather have Canva online for all the things it does and then a desktop editor because I really need that granular control. Veed feels like a more expensive version of just some of the things you can do in Canva.
Yeah, I totally see where you're coming from. The only thing I would say about that is that I was looking at maybe if you're doing the videos and you want to capture your desktop, you can utilize Zoom for that. And then you could import it into Canva or one of these other editors, edit it. And the thing is, it's web-based browser, or you could edit it. They provide an app that's on your tablet or on your phone. And I know quite a few people that do, it's preferable to do it on the desktop, I feel more comfortable. But I know, especially younger people and that, millennials and that, they seem fine to edit actual video on a tablet, you know, knock it out. And this is, these solutions aren't operating, to some extent, not operating system reliant, you know, so they will work on Mac, Linux, whatever you got, they all work if you follow my drift.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I do. Right. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, workflow is workflow, and we're in a space where the tools keep upgrading every day. So, like, when you're looking at things like, oh, I want to do audio to text, or I want to have AI immediately take the transcript out. There's free tools now that whatever video you make anywhere are going to do that for you as well. So it's kind of unfortunate for the makers of the software, but that's not really a feature worth paying for, is it? When you can do it automatically. I mean, like, I have a free extension for Chrome that any video I make just grabs with AI all of the text out and puts it in a formatted, you know, version, which is kind of like built into almost everything I've seen online today, right? So I wonder, you know.
Yeah. On to the next one, which is Promo. Promo is very similar to Veed. One of the attractions is I've got another business which we build websites for real estate agents and provide a digital platform marketing. And one of the we recommend Promo to that particular audience because they've got a library of pre-made videos which you can utilize for particular industries. It's more extensive than what Veed also has, a library of pre-made videos, but Promo's got a bigger library. And they're very, I would say that Veed's got a better UX design interface than Promo. But if you're attracted, you've got a particular industry that you're building courses for, but you also need marketing videos and videos for other purposes, Promo might be attractive because of this extensive library that they've got for different industries. I put down their yearly cost because they offer a substantial discount if you buy the yearly plan. It's 50% discount. So their starter plan is $29 a month if you buy the yearly plan, but you can go month to month. But like I say, they offer a substantial discount. I don't know if this particular service or company has been on your radar at all.
Well, I look at this as something that was maybe when they started. I'm not familiar with this one, but this was originally an idea, and maybe it still has merit in that sense, where you want to get content to quickly put together as, let's say, the background visual for something that it's an instructor video, it's a short, it's whatever. Like I mentioned, what I have done in the past is made my own animations. But lately, what I've been doing is using visual metaphors, whether static images or moving video, because there's so many free ones there. So if I'm in a live presentation and I like their headline is the only video maker you need, I can find a free video clip in Canva just by searching by name or using the AI. That's a perfect visual metaphor for that point, and it's just plopped in the background. That's what this product does, which it does really, really well. But let's go to the pricing. The pricing is, that's where the big difference. It's $29 a month annual. Or, oh, no way. No. It's $59 a month, monthly. I mean, it's $12 for Canva, and there's 800 trillion pieces of content in there. There's absolutely no way this works for me. No.
Well, it doesn't, unless you're going to pay the yearly plan for $29, then it has got
You
got
to pay up front, though, don't you, right?
Yes, I mean,
you have to pay $348, but even Canva is $240 paid monthly, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yep. True words.
I want to make a comment because this is, okay, we're in a world right now, I cannot say how exciting it is to me that, hi, David McCann, by the way. Hi, David. That we are going to have to give up a lot of the pricing metaphors that we've gotten used to, right? And you can see this in the TV shows because, like I've mentioned in other contexts, Hulu and Disney and HBO, they've all gone to like everything we got for $12 a month, right? In the software field, I'm somebody who makes software. I have to accept, I've actually started talking about that. Instead of me selling everything as a big bundle for $300 a year, it's $19 for this feature, $12 for that. These companies have to restructure to compete with what Canva is doing, because there's no way to compete online with a tool that is like so amazing and has so much stuff if you're going to charge four times as much. You just can't. Nobody's going to keep using it.
Yeah, I just had one of the people that are watching this live, they said utilize DaVinci Resolve. I'm sorry, David. We're talking about easy utilizing editors. I think even the Experience Premiere Pro, it's a bit daunting to move all their production to DaVinci. It might be free, David, but my God, what a learning curve.
Well, David is a good pal, and he runs a big group over in Facebook that I participate in, along with Michael Edwin and a couple other people. There are a lot of us who've been around long enough to have like really interesting tools, right? There's lots
of
audio.
But DaVinci Resolve.
But in fairness to Jonathan's comment and to what I just said, DaVinci was released in 2004. I venture to say our audience was alive then, but there might actually be some of our audience that was not even alive then. It isn't fair probably for most people to expect them to look to tools that have been around forever. I think today's tools do things differently. So like horse and buggy, gas car, electric car, there's lots of horse and buggies and gas cars around for many of us that we love to use. But anybody coming in today, I think the nature of what we're talking about is like, what's the electric car version of how to do this today?
Yeah, to kind of on to the next one, which is Big VU. I think I'm pronouncing it Big VU TV.
Yeah.
This is an interesting one because I think it's got a bit more interesting value than the previous one we discussed, which I think I agree with you has a pricing problem. But this is really aimed for the iPhone user. It's got an inbuilt teleprompter. It's got video landing pages. It's more of it's kind of semi-marketing tool as well. It's got iPhone and Android. It splits the screen in portrait view, and it has the teleprompter in the top section. Because a lot of people, unlike me, that can just ramble on endlessly, a lot of people really need a script. And looking down at your notes doesn't really work. So it's got some useful functionality to it. As a video editor, I don't think it's quite as good, but it's not bad either. So have a look at it. What was your thoughts about this one, Spencer?
I have had situations where I want to do teleprompting for reading off of a script. There's lots of cool apps that run on your desktop if you have a webcam as I do, or if you're using independent. There's typically a box that you will buy that has like a mirror in it, and your DSLR camera can look through the glass, but the glass reflects off of your device. This is actually something that when you're using a mobile device, you can have the camera positioned right above where the text is. And so this is actually a very efficient way of getting that kind of content. And then take it back to what I was describing before. Maybe you're doing a YouTube short, or you're doing, I don't know, TikTok, God forbid. You can get like the content of you talking and not so much look like you're reading, but you're using this tool, which is really, really helpful. In fact, I would say this is actually in some ways, depending on how far it is, a better way to do teleprompting. Because if the teleprompter is way up there, it's and you're trying to read the screen, a lot of people just tend to be looking like they're reading off of a teleprompter. So this is an actual handy utility. I wouldn't really call it a tool like a video editor, but I would call it a video creation tool, you know?
Yeah, I know where you're coming from. Let's go to the other extreme from the comment around DaVinci. Let's look at the absolute opposite, iMovie. iMovie comes with almost any Mac that you buy. It's supposed to be easy, but it is easy compared to DaVinci. It's totally the opposite. It's a little bit too easy. That's why I thought we would look at some of these other tools, because it's on the opposite side. I wouldn't say it's crippled. It's definitely not crippled. And you, like I say, you get it on every Mac. But I don't think anybody really... It's too simple. It's too kind of Mac-ish, where there are some programs where Mac kind of pushes it, the ease of use, too far. I don't know if this, I'm not getting in this. Would you like to comment on this? Do you think I'm going the right direction here with what I was saying about iMovie? I mean,
you're talking about, you know, like iMovie we're talking about. Like yeah. It comes built in. I have had Macs for some time and mobile devices from Apple forever. I don't think I've once used this because it does do a good job, but it does a good job like a kid who's 11 just wants to make a video, or grandma figured out like she's bored one weekend or something. But it's not even in the realm of a useful tool for anybody who wants to do anything compared to a free online tool. It's a nice thing to get somebody started. I would say like a free tool that's much better in the Apple realm would be GarageBand. So if you did want to work on maybe better audio for your videos, you could use that free tool, which is not like the best in the box, but like the best free thing I've had in some time.
Yeah, that's more useful, actually. I totally agree with you. So on. I think we're going to go for a break now, folks. And when we come back, we've got some great new tools, some AI tools to discuss that I'm sure will get my co-host's interest a bit more. I think he's actually thought he's coped very well, actually. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, it's Spence from LaunchFlows.com. If you've been looking for a fast and easy way to create powerful sales funnels on WordPress, then look no further than LaunchFlows. In just minutes, you can easily create instant registration, upsells, downsells, order bumps, one-click checkouts, one-time offers, custom thank you pages, and best of all, no coding is required. For as little as $50 per year, you can own and control your entire sales funnel machine with LaunchFlows. Get your copy today.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. I just want to point out, if you're looking to host your website, your WordPress membership website, why don't you have a look at WP Tonic? We offer really fantastic WordPress hosting, plus a suite of plugins that are the best of breed, plus email marketing functionality, all built in one great hosting platform, plus support and advice to get you going quickly with less stress, utilizing the freedom and power of WordPress for your membership website. So if that's interesting, go over to WP Tonic, and we'd love you to work with us in building your great membership website. So on to another one. It's from Adobe. Adobe have their Premiere, but they've entered web edit, browser editing and offering a quasar cheaper solution, and that's their Premiere Rush, mobile desktop video editing. It's at a cheaper price. It's around $9.99. One of the things I think Spencer mentioned in the first half of the show when we were talking about DaVinci, one of the problems of Adobe Premiere, which is their kind of pro video editing, it's a 20-year code base, and it does show itself in the UX interface design. I think I understand why Adobe's doing this, but I just think the competition is just too hot, if you know what I mean. What do you?
I think Adobe is not going to go away anytime soon, but there's a lot of my colleagues and people professionally I know who have decided that they burned their bridges on their customers. And so now they're in this weird position because they really took advantage of the leverage they had when everybody had desktop apps of, you know, every year pumping up the license fees and so on and so forth. I mean, there was at one point before they went with this cloud stuff that they were charging like $300-$400 per app, per person, per year. I mean, it was just obnoxious. And they got handed their lunch. So then they had to go with this. But when I look at the pricing of the Creative Cloud, if you wanted this Rush, just to get it by itself, you'd have to go Adobe Express. That's $9.99 a month. And that doesn't have a lot of the stuff that these other tools like Canva have. Like, for example, all of the graphics and all the other editing stuff. It's a limited subset of things, like just for video editing. If you were familiar with the timeline editor and, you know, as a video person, there's lots of keystrokes and so forth, scripts, maybe it's worth it. I mean, you're still not badly priced at $10 a month. But when you get to the full apps thing and you're at $54.99 a month, now I start to say the same thing I did about the other stuff. Like, maybe be better with something on the desktop and then using online tools for creating a lot of the assets, Canva or otherwise. I, as I said, have taken professional colleagues of mine and exposed them to Canva, and they get immediately uncomfortable because they recognize the priests in the temple kind of, or the lawyers in the library method is over. They can't keep their customers from seeing how easy it is to make stuff. So now they have to rely on their graphical design eye rather than being exclusive owners of the tools, which was where Adobe used to get everybody, right? And unless you're in the film industry, in which case you're probably using something else like, you know, Adobe Premiere or Pro. I mean, the normal Rush is not going to, you know, you're not getting a job in Hollywood with that.
No. Let's look at one of the new players, one of the AI players. Probably Adobe is looking to buy them as we speak, probably. One that's really got some traction and is really powerful is Runway ML. I think it's really linked to what you've just been saying, because the pricing is for what you get. It uses AI technology to actually deal with, if you've got any video and you need to do cuts, you're utilizing the same shortcuts. This uses AI and actually does a pretty good cut for you. So it can split the videos up and do the transitions and take things out. Some of the tools are supposedly up to the Adobe After Effects functionality, green screen, cutting stuff out. It's just the price is amazing for what you're getting. It starts at $12 up to $28.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, I'll give you some metaphors here as an example. We've talked about, I use a tool called Fathom, for recording my Zoom calls. Zoom has this, quite frankly, janky as all get out recording feature, and it doesn't transcribe well. You'd have to use, in the past, maybe now it does, you'd have to use a tool like otter.ai, which was really early days and also quite awkward to use. Fathom came in for free, and it's free forever right now because they're going to charge teams, not individuals. Fathom does everything you can fantasize about for a Zoom call, like recording it, transcribing it, AI summaries, and thinking, and it sends it automatically to the customers. Oh my God. These other tools are the same way. This tool, Runway, is like other ones I've seen where you don't need to be grabbing the timeline and clipping and editing and slicing and dicing and ripple editing. You could just go, hey, I want to make a video. Here's my assets. I wanted to do this, that, and the other thing. And it'll spit it out. And we're approaching that as being commonplace, right? I mean, I'm today going to make...
What are you doing? Game for me.
I'm going to make a video today and challenge to my good friend, Jamie, who's now, as we speak...
Leave that poor man alone. He's had a heart attack.
He's a good pal. He's backtracking on his full site editor challenge.
He doesn't need you mixing him up. He's done enough of that to me. You know,
he's got a lovely family.
Your joy to other victims.
He's got a lovely family. He's in good health. His heart is stable now.
It's after you stopped having
He's had his gallbladder out now. He's like a bionic man. He can handle it. The challenge is like the metaphor for this. The tools of past, where you had five or six tools to get something done, are now going to be merged into one tool that just spits out what you want. And in the same way, he and I are having these classic versus whatever. He's now backpedaling by saying, I said, I'll do what you do in full site editing. I'm going to use Cadence theme free, Cadence blocks free. He's like, whoa, you cannot use Cadence blocks. That wouldn't be a comparison. I'm like, I'm afraid that's not logical because those are a matched set that are free, just like full site editor is a matched site for the janky full site editor theme on the front. And the point is still, either one of those tools gets rid of 57 other things that you would have had to use in the past. And here with video editing, I'm saying David McCann's idea, suggestion, he's comfortable, keep using, you know, DaVinci Resolve. But most people are going to go in and start typing or talking into a screen, make me a video about this, that, or the other thing, and it's just going to spit it out. And I think we need to get used to that. What tools do you need anymore? What tools should you be involved with anymore? I don't think it's going to be a lot of these things that were even just a year ago popular because we've moved so quickly already.
Yeah, on to another one that's getting really popular. Had a lot of positive reviews. I haven't had time to look at it. I am actually going to be looking at Runway ML and looking at this other particular tool. And Video AI, am I pronouncing it?
I'm just going to say I'm out of this one on the title alone.
Oh, yeah? All right. He's such a title snob. But what it does is you put a video in and if you want to do shorts, if you want to do Instagram video, it will take a video, cut it up, and then do the aspect ratios, and boop, 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 boop. It will just say you can utilize a video for TikTok. You can put it on Instagram. You can put it here, there, the other, and all the aspect ratios and everything's done for you.
Let's look at the pricing because I think they give you a free trial.
Yes.
Hold on, what is the price? Because it takes you to a
$29.99 and it starts.
Where did you find that? Because I'm losing it in the, maybe there's something behind my screen that's interfering with it, but hold on. Oh, there it is. Sorry. I had something that was blocking my screen. Yeah. Okay, so all jokes aside about the title, video.ai, that's a little odd. But like once you get beyond that, this is a tool. I wouldn't call it a video editor. As a tool, it's interesting along the same lines as the teleprompter, right? In other words, this is something that I might use for that Rachel Peterson thing that we started the conversation with about, I made a video, I want to slice and dice it. However...
I did say that.
I understand. I'm concurring with you. But however, I feel like the devil's in the details with these things. Here's why. I explained earlier that like I took a 16:9 video and then I was making it maybe to make it look good in 16:9, it's very difficult unless you got a talking head with a mouth moving for AI to know specifically where to focus and zoom in and all those things. So by the time you're done with that, a typical YouTube short is a minute. Like, it might just be better to use a tool that very easily, like Camtasia, lets you drag the 16:9 thing around to focus on what you want than to try to bother with an AI trying to do that automatically. There's probably good use cases for this that are different. Like, if you're just you talking as a head on the screen, but I don't know if that's always the case for everybody. So,
yeah, this, the next tool I'm struggling with, these AI new video tools. Obviously, I don't know what, as a dyslexic, how would you pronounce this? Glean.
Yeah. Glean. I guess you're good. This is one time where I have to default to, like, I'm on the same page. Glean, sure.
Glean. Like, you're using one of the, you got a lot of video, and you need to get rid of the mms and any kind of defects in it. And any professional editor, a lot of the work is tedious. You know, you got to do and time consuming. It's a bit like audio editing. One of my first co-hosts, when I got into podcasting, I used to call him the sound Nazi, because we used to do our podcast, and then he would spend about 5 hours doing the audio quality, which he would tell me consistently, like, I cared. This, if you put the video in, it will remove all the ums and all the pop, all the cuts, and just clean up the video. And if you're doing courses and you're doing a lot of video, you could probably utilize this tool before you do more elaborate stuff in Final Cut or the other tools that we've mentioned, like ScreenFlow, Camtasia. It's one of those. So you don't do a full editing, but it's similar to the previous AI tool. It can really save a lot of time and really improve the quality of your course videos. What do you reckon, Spencer?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I like these tools that are accessories for specific purposes, because it actually fits with my mindset of what you need to use. Like, I referenced a free Chrome extension. I use AI tools. Sometimes, like today, I'll just go into AI and I'll say, write me a little snippet or something. So I do like this a bit. And again, this is free, right? There's nothing.
I think they've got a free, but it's paid.
I don't
as well.
See the paid link. Where's the paid link?
They hide it. It's when you go to export it, they charge you $5 every export.
Okay. So as a business model, I like it. Here's why. Maybe you only want to do this once, right? Maybe you just have a use case. Wouldn't it be better? I'll just pay $5, do it the one time I need it or whatever. Because we're in a membership economy, but, like, again, I'm referring to my own practices here. WordPress plugins, WordPress themes, the idea that buying all of them one license for 1 year is odd to me now. Once a month, odd. If you can get a feature and you pay it a la carte, that actually doesn't seem that odd to me. If you can pay for a feature once in a while, or, you know, so I think being flexible is the way that people who want to survive and thrive in the business market are going to do well, because they're adapting to what the reality is instead of crying and whining about what the reality was, which was, remember the days when it was a matter of who controlled access to stuff. Everything's available now. You've got to be nimble in what you're doing to solve problems. And then that business might last 5 minutes, it might last 5 years, but it's not going to last because you're going to keep people from the ways of doing it. There will be 50,000 people doing what you're doing right away if you prove that it's a good idea.
Well, you know, to finish off, I think there's something to what you say. I think there's people in the SaaS area that saying that the cost of setting up a SaaS-based company is greatly reduced, and the amount of venture capital that's going to be needed is going to be greatly reduced as well. So you're going to have a lot more niche players. I think that's what you're going to find in WordPress. You're going to find a lot more kind of WordPress SaaS kind of niche solutions that can make a good living. They're not going to be made, you know, they're not going to be like our Spanish form people that got 160 million investment that live in Barcelona.
$187 million.
I had to pick Spencer up after he read that. I don't think you're going to get 180 million investment.
You don't need it anymore.
But you can still have a really quiet, you know, a couple million dollar company with about three or four people, and you're offering your solution on WordPress. That's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm aiming for. There we go. I think we're going to wrap it up. So, Spencer, how can people find out more about you and your knowledge, Spencer?
You can reach me at SpencerForman.com, that's F-O-R-M-A-N, or at WPLaunchify.com. The things that we're doing today are basically call me, and not for no reason. When you go to WP Launchify, you'll see that I think WordPress, as we discussed today, is moving into the as-a-service mode, where the things that you want can be ready-baked as a solution, whether on your own or with the help of, you know, again, like Jonathan's company, my company. Where I specialize is in helping people who have been frustrated by either building a Frankenstein monster or having shiny ball syndrome. And all the stuff we talk about is a great example because, again, you and I are 28, 29 years old, times two or three, and we've been around long enough to see these evolutions of things happening. And so I'm suggesting many of my customers and people who we help feel the equal level of frustration, like too much stuff, too many changes. Can't you just like get me right to Nirvana? And that's what both.
Well, actually, I feel fitter today than I felt 12 years ago because basically, I lost 112 pounds of weight.
I mean, you and I share the thing. I have children that are in their 20s, but the idea is like having the experience of going through these processes, both in health and life and business and stuff, amplifies the ability to help customers. Now,
but before we finish, just be nice to Jamie. No, he's gone through.
No, Jamie and I.
He's gone through his blood bladder, his surgeries. The last thing he needs is you upsetting him. You know.
Hold on. Jamie is a great guy, funny. He's got a great sense of humor. There's all love there. I didn't get to meet him in San Diego like the rest of the British crew. But the point is, this is a fun thing to help our mutual audiences understand there's probably things on both sides of the plate. But as a fun challenge among pals and colleagues, I'm saying Spence's advice is classic and blocks. And Jamie seems to be on board with our other good pal, Brian Gardner, like, let's go full site editing. And I'm saying, for the love of all that's good in WordPress, stop doing that. Just kill the whole thing. And here's why. And it's nothing personal because we're having fun sharing with our audiences. But he is backpedaling a little bit. We've been tweeting during the show because he originally said, oh, you can't use any blocks and you can't use any external things. I'm like, you just need the free theme and the free blocks. And it, by the way, in your demo, you used a free plugin to show a little icon in the bottom. And he knows. I've caught him with his hand in the cookie jar. So I'll be making a video on that after this that I'll post to our channel and share as well. Because it's all in good fun. Like, these things are what everybody needs to know about.
And just follow one of our live listeners, David McCain. Just do what he suggests. Just go out and buy DaVinci Resolve for $2.95 and then spend the next 10 years trying to learn how to use it and become a professional video editor if you wish. But I think we're aiming at people that actually want to get their course done.
I want to shout out though to David and David's group. Because I think I find the greatest quality of good comments and stuff. So the idea is, if you're really learning and wanting to know more, you can go and get information from a lot of places. But David's group in particular has just a ton of stuff in it, right? And I'm looking for the actual link if I can share.
But there is only one group to join, and we're going to wrap up the podcast part of the show now, folks.
And that's
to join the Membership Machine Facebook group.
Of course.
Spencer is an admin, so am I. Got any questions about what the subjects we're discussing in the podcast? Right. You can put your questions there. We're going to wrap up the podcast part of the show. We'll see you next week, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.